Joseph Albers. The full story. Tackling his character, his work, his life means opening one's gaze to every aspect touched upon by this artist. This exhibition attempts to follow him from his beginning in 1920s Germany until his death in the United States in 1976. From his paintings to his work with glass and etching, from his teaching to his research on geometric forms and colour.
Sono Marco Pierini, direttore.
Along with Marco Pierini, the curator of this exhibition and director of the Galleria Civica of Modena, we will try to identify those guidelines that defined his life and working method. First of all, the absolute inseparability between artistic practice and teaching, the centrality of experience and the continuous search for maximum results with minimal means, learning to open one's eyes to the world. But let's go in order. Albers's artistic education actually began at a very young age. Born in 1888 in Bottrop, Westphalia, Joseph learned from his father, Lawrence, a house painter and craftsman, incredible manual skills. And it was his father who taught him the rules, executive techniques, ways of dealing with different materials and their characteristics. As he grew up, he chose to follow artistic studies in Berlin, Essen and Munich, but he was always unsatisfied with the academic training. And as he continued to study art, he began to work as a teacher. Until the moment when, in 1920, at the age of 32, he decided to revolutionise his life. And he signed up with the Bauhaus School, founded just the year before by Walter Gropius.
As the artist himself stated, at the age of 32, upon discovering the flyer that advertised this new school, he threw everything out the window and began a new life.
Albers, who up to that moment had always painted, done etchings and work with glass, who had even created the stained glass window of a church in Bottrop, abandoned figuration and completely quit painting, dedicating himself to working with glass and studying materials and forms. He would only start to paint again after his arrival in the United States, but we will get to this later. At 32 years old, he is definitely the oldest student, maybe one of the students with the most experience, and with a more personal and original approach to the school's structuring. In 1923, after only 3 years at Bauhaus, Walter Gropius, founder and director of the school, asked Albers to take a position as a professor, entrusting him with the introductory course. In this course, Albers would refine his role as a pedagogue, in which he would theorise the methods that he had thus far experimented on himself. Art as experience, it is born from experience.
Albers' method is completely based on experimentation and the valorization of the individual student's talents. It was a method that was largely based on practical work and on the study of materials and their behaviour, with the material on one hand and construction on the other. Thus, his method is centred on what and how one can build a form, even before talking about a work with the material that was available.
Prima ancora di parlare di opera, con la materia che era a disposizione.
Thus, we intentionally handle materials differently from the outside world, but not as a matter of principle, not to make something different, in which case we would be focused mostly on the norm, but rather to make it in a different way, whereby we stress the method. That is to say, not to imitate, but rather to seek on our own and to learn how to find independently constructive thinking. Preference for materials or constructive elements for which a use or application does not exist, or that we do not know how to handle, leads to an unusual heightening of autonomy. For example, building with corrugated cardboard, wire, mesh, cellophane, transparent plastic, labels, newspapers, wallpaper, straw, gum, matchboxes, confetti and paper streamers, gramophone needles, and razor blades. Looking over the results of these experiments, we often realize afterwards that seeming innovations already exist. But the result is the student's own experience and possession, because it has been learned rather than taught. Learning is better than teaching, because it is more intensive. The more we teach, the less students can learn.
This very practical aspect of his teaching makes one think of Albus as continuing the medieval and Renaissance workshops. But this is actually incorrect, because in the workshops, knowledge that was more or less unchanging was passed down, and it was rare for a boy in a workshop to be allowed to vary from the norm. So, learning meant acquiring a procedure, applying it and executing it perfectly. Instead, for Albus, working with material meant trying to bring out something new, but not necessarily new. So it was more of an adventure than the application of a norm. And therefore, in this, Albus was the complete opposite of a Renaissance painter.
At Bauhaus, Albus doesn't have to follow a precise method imposed by the school, but is free to organize his courses and classes however he prefers. This same liberty is shared by the other artist teachers of the school, among those Clay and Kandinsky.
I have developed my own method of teaching. It has nothing to do how Kandinsky taught. It was not connected with Clay's. That was the best thing in the Bauhaus, that we were absolute independent and we didn't agree on anything. So when Kandinsky says yes, I said no. When he said no, then I said yes. So we were the best friends, because we wanted to expose them to different viewpoints.
In 1925, Josef married Annie Flischmann, whom he had met a few years before when she herself was a student at Bauhaus. They would share their entire lives together, and with the unstoppable ascent of Nazism in Germany and the closing of the Bauhaus, they left Europe in 1933 to emigrate to the United States, where Albers was offered a position as a teacher at the Black Mountain College in North Carolina. The story of how Albers arrived in Asheville is unusual and involves some of the central figures in the American cultural scene of the 1930s. When the historical contingencies in Germany forced Josef and Annie to call into question their human and professional future, Albers received a work proposal from Ted Dreyer, co-founder of Black Mountain College. Dreyer had been introduced to Albers's work through Philip Johnson and Edward Warburg, curators of the brand new Museum of Modern Art, MoMA, in New York, who had met the Albers in Berlin just before the Bauhaus had been closed by the Nazi regime. That is how Annie and Josef received the invitation. The money for their compensation was raised by Warburg and Rockefeller, and in 1933, the Albers fled Germany for New York. Josef didn't know a word of English. The years at Black Mountain proved to be fundamental for Albers' growth, both as a pedagogue and an artist. In those years, it is not clear whether Albers met the American philosopher John Dewey, but it is certain that their approach, with regards to both pedagogical principles and morals, was very similar. Albers takes on the motto by Dewey, learning by doing. They share teaching methods and educational objectives, but most of all, they both firmly believe that, as an experience, the perception of a work does not occur passively, but through an inevitably personal connection.
Life is change. Day and night, cold and warmth, sun and rain. It is more in between the facts than the facts themselves. Rules are the result of experience and come later, and discovering the rules is more lifeful than their application.
Writes Albers in 1935, just 2 years after his arrival in the United States.
I believe it is now time to make a similar change of method in our art teaching. that we moved from looking at art as a part of historical science to an understanding of art as a part of life. Under the term art, I include all fields of artistic purposes. The fine arts and applied arts, also music, dramatics, dancing, the theater, photography, movies, literature, and so on. Do not misunderstand me. I admire the earlier art, particularly the earliest art. But we must not overlook that they do not belong to our time, and that the study of them has the purpose of understanding the spirit of their period, or, what is more important, to get a standard for comparisons with our own work. What went on is not necessarily more important than what is going on.
I have not taught art. I found out recently that I have taught philosophy and psychology, and I have never taught painting. But I have taught them to see their own sayings critically. See? I have taught them seeing.
Io credo che per capire a fondo Albers tutto il percorso.
I believe that in order to understand Albers and his entire career, the much used phrase to open eyes is the starting point.
Sia il punto di partenza.
The moral imperative that moves him as an artist and pedagogue is that of empowering visual and interpretive capacities in a sense that is closely linked to vision, because increasing the potential of man is one of the most important missions that a pedagogue may hold.
Le capacità visive e interpretative, ma in senso molto legato alla visione.
In Albers's vision, that is increasingly stronger in his American years. It is as if artists were entrusted with an important part of education, that of refining our visual skills, seeing the world in a deeper way, understanding the connection between forms, between colours.
Se saremo capaci.
Albers asserted that if we are always able to be the best in understanding these things, we will be much better humans. It's as if he wanted to tell us that those who are not capable of perceiving the world don't know how to treat it, and instead those who know how to use materials for what they are and respect them know how to interact with the world.
Sa interagire col mondo.
For this, the authenticity of his work was very important to him, and this responsibility with regards to others that he always maintained. At Black Mountain College, Albers made the preparatory course into a course on the interaction of colours. The beginning of this period coincides with his return to painting, to which Albers dedicates himself almost completely, and that constitutes further proof of his continuous process of osmosis between teaching and art. The move to the United States also signifies Albers's meeting with Mexico and pre-Columbian art. Starting in 1935, Josef and Annie would go to Mexico 14 times, where they would visit archaeological sites, collect pre-Columbian statues and archaeological finds, get to know the Mexican cultural scene as well as Albers's refractoriness to recognize models and inspirational sources. He would soften in front of the monuments and visual material and popular culture of Mexico, whose influences can be recognized in the geometric series of Graphic Tectonic and Adobe. Examples of these series can be found here in this exhibition. Josef's extraordinary experience at Black Mountain College in North Carolina finished after 16 years, in a crucial period of Albers's artistic career. It was 1949. After having been rector of Black Mountain College for a year and being almost overcome by the massive amount of work imposed by its management, Josef and Annie resigned and moved to New York. After just a few months, Josef was nominated director of the Department of Design at Yale University. In the same period, he began his series of homages to the square, which may be the highest point of his artistic career. In 1958, at 70 years old, Albers retired and set aside his position as a teacher in order to dedicate himself entirely to painting. He became much more prolific. He designed record covers, fireplaces, and murals. In 1963, he completed a mural commissioned by Gropius for the entrance to the Pan Am Building in New York. And in 1971, he became the first living artist that the Metropolitan Museum of New York had ever dedicated a retrospective exhibition to. All these years, Albers continued his research on colour and continued to paint his homages to the square until his last work, completed just 3 weeks before passing away in 1976. This is Josef Alba's general career. His passion for colour, his rigour, his studies of geometric forms, his time at Bauhaus and at Black Mountain College, the meetings in his life, the importance of both the artist and the pedagogue are illustrated in this exhibition through his work and with a series of in-depth examinations that tell the story of Josef and his search for truth.
Albers understood the extraordinary consequentiality that is shared by thought and hand. His works never disregard the deep knowledge of materials and techniques. But not, and this is the most extraordinary thing, as an almost virtuosistic exercise, or the more I know the technique, the better I am. Instead, it's a way of enhancing the qualities of the materials and succeeding in drawing the maximum potential from any material, be it color, wood, or glass. This maximum potential is always obtained through minimal means. This is another element that runs through Albers' entire career. To say it in his words, minimal means maximum effect.
Minimi mezzi per un massimo risultato.